Wow! Woo! You light up my life. You light up my life. You have given me all the hope that I never knew that I could get to live this life. I will be celebrating July the 11th. I came in 1952, and I'll be celebrating 52 years. I can't claim it until I get it. See, I can't do that. See, but they've been giving me medallions with 52. I can string them all over the room, I guess. I want to thank the Women's Conference. I loved your title, Dignity, because that's what you girls are going to get. And it's a pleasure to know that you can have dignity. It's wonderful, especially me as an alcoholic. I'm convinced that I'm an alcoholic, and my name is Elizabeth Bailey. I'm called Liz in AA, and that sounds better than what I have been called. You know, because my name was Bitch before I got here. You know, the bitch this, the bitch that, and that. And I came in and learned that my name is Liz, which is very nice. I'll even accept that. I want to thank the conference again. I also want to thank so many of my friends. I have been highly emotional all day, crying inside with the joy of all of you. My speakers, this Mary Ann, is it Mary Ann? God, she just blew me out the chair over there. Because I too need to hear something like her. I need to hear it to keep me going. I am not cured, you know that. The progression of alcoholism is still going on inside of me. And I will never be cured. But I have never been so happy in my entire life as I have been in Alcoholics Anonymous. And very, very grateful that I've lived in the day and time of Alcoholics Anonymous. Because all my loved ones have died from alcohol. Because they never got this message. They never even seen me sober before they left here. And where are my friends that I used to drink with? They're all going home. I don't know if they're having a meeting, but I know the AA members are having a meeting up there. But they've all gone home. I want to thank you and Sally and all of you. And my friends over here, Vi, I 12-stepped Vi 40 years ago. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that beautiful Pat, we've been friends for over 30 years. You see, that's another beautiful thing. You get lasting friendships, not the fly-by-nights. And I want to thank Tony. Where is she? Tony, thank you. And Kathy? Kathy, I didn't want to forget your name, but I have senior citizen moments. You know that. I forget something. I forget it in a minute, look like. Artie, I want to thank you for coming, too. Because Artie calls me about 3 to 4 times a week in New York. He just moved down here, girls. And he was very lonely. And you girls leave him alone, too. Don't go bugging with him. Don't go bugging with him. He wouldn't know what to handle anyway, so don't worry about it. Okay? I'm so grateful that I came in at 31 years old. Really, 13. And if you add up 31 and 52, that makes me 83. Swinging 83. Shut your mouth. She got a mouth wide open when I said that. Yeah, I'm 83. And very grateful to reach this age. I had my first drink at the age of 12 years old. Stone alcoholic at 12 years old. I don't know nothing about no social drinking or crossing any lines. I've seen many lines, though. I told a girl the other day, I said, you know, I'm so happy for years now. I wake up and look at my ceiling. She said, what you mean by that? I said, I wasn't always waking up looking at my ceiling. So I'm very grateful. Very grateful. Al-Anon, you're gorgeous. You're just gorgeous. I joined Al-Anon when I was 4 years sober. And I still go to my Al-Anon meetings every Monday. Al-Anon, you saved my life too. You showed me how to deal with people. I did not know how to deal with people, but Al-Anon will show you. Also, Al-Anon teaches you how to take care of yourself and stop trying to do the three C's. You didn't cause it, you can't cure it, and you damn sure can't control it. It's called three C's, and I love that. The other one I love from Al-Anon is M-Y-O-B. Mind your own business. Because when you take care of you, that's a full-time job. I know it for me. I know it for me, taking care of me mentally, physically, and spiritually. My mom made my first drink, and I'm going to tell you, all these years I've been AA, I was always wishing I could give my mom two drinks and bring her to hell in here, because she could have used the whole 12 steps and the 12 traditions and everything. She passed away 3 days short of being 95. So she had a good life, very good life. Hard life, but good. My dad was a pitiful drunk. I used to grieve about my dad's drinking. I used to see the policemen beat him with the billies and the blood would spatter. The neighbors would hit him with frying pans and things and the blood would spatter. And I lived right in front of Mother Cabrina Hospital. I watched my dad come out of that hospital many, many times, wrapped like a mummy from the beatings he took. I was ever grateful that I was in the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous when he hung himself out at Central Islip. I believe till this moment, if I had been drinking, I would have tried to use his death to drink myself to death. But I didn't have to do that. I have to be honest with every one of you. I came into AA July the 11th, 1952, and today is May 2nd, is it? I have not been a day without one of you in my life. Am I in the hospital? You come up the front stairs, the back stairs, and you're all over the hospital. And the nurses are asked, God bless you, I'm speaking truth now, see. And the nurses will ask me, who are you? And I said, well, my name is on the back of the wall there or the foot of the bed. But you guys have never let me do a thing alone in AA. And I don't have to do anything alone, and neither do you. And even till today, I don't have a sick pride. If I'm going through something and growing through something, I'm going to call for help. I call for help. I don't have that kind of stuff in my life. Tonight, girls, I have to apologize to you because from the day that I walked in here to this day today, I have never ate anything with alcohol in it. Not for me. I never wanted to play with my head. See, and I received two paper clippings from Florida to New York telling me that the alcohol is not cooked out. So be careful what you eat because, see, we're sensitive to alcohol. And it's cunning, baffling, and insidious. It'll grab you when you least expect it. And I'm not the one to tell you, keep coming back. I tell you to come and stay. Stay and grow through all of it to make you with dignity and the woman that you're supposed to be. Oh, it's a good feeling. It's a very good feeling. Because when I was drinking, nobody wanted to be around me. Don't have her around. Don't tell her what's going on. Today, there's not enough of me. I just turned down Tennessee. I am so booked up to fly and travel that I don't want to overdo it. Not for me. No, I don't. Because that could throw me if I overdo it. So I thank God I've learned that, how to take care of myself even in that department. Well, my mom made this rice wine when I was 12 years old. And she left myself and a little girl named Marion to sieve it through cheesecloth. And to show you the difference, Marion sieved and sipped two drinks and she went home. But not me, I sieved and I sipped. And I kept on sieving and sipping. And I sieved and I sipped. And I'm only 12 years old, sieving and sipping. I put on a drunk that was a drunk. And my mom lectured to me all night long. And, of course, I got out in the street the next day, and I shook my little self, and I told him, woo, what a ball I had. I don't even remember what the hell happened. And that began to be the pattern of my life. If you didn't drink to get drunk and pass out, then you didn't say anything for me. And don't take a drink like this. Don't take a drink like this and sip it for 20 minutes. You got on my nerves. I got away from you. You didn't have to get away from me. I got away from you because I couldn't take that. You had to drink like I drank. And I'm watching me go down. Of course, now I'm selling booze at 14. The man made it in the bathtub next door. And I'm selling it for 40 cents a cream pitcher. I bought it by the gallon. And you told me to take mayonnaise, olive oil, butter, cream, line myself up, and then I can drink plenty and make good money. Well, let me tell you about that King Kong. It was called King Kong. It went all through the mayonnaise and the olive oil and the butter and the cream. So I stopped taking that sick stuff. And I sold plenty of booze and I made good money. One night, I'm looking out the window. I live one flight up. And I see this sharp dude. Lord, he was so sharp, I almost fell out the window. He was so sharp. And he had a roll of money. I said, boom, there's a live one. I was always looking for a live one. I look for live ones in AA, too. I don't look for deadheads in AA. No, I don't deal with them. I don't deal with deadheads. I look for the live ones who's living the program, going, doing, and giving. That's what I love. And so I ran down and I latched on to him right away. And I found out it was a $5 bill around a lot of ones. So what did I do? I started to go from uptown. I could care less about that. He was so cute. And I started to go from uptown to downtown New York, giving everybody a play so they'd come and give me a play. Well, at the age of 14, you could not tell me I wasn't a woman. I'm partying. I'm hanging out. And, of course, now I asked my mother to sign for me to marry him. And she says, oh, no, dear, over my dead body. That man will have you out in the street, and you'll live a terrible life with him. Oh, I wish she had to shut her mouth. See, that's what Al-Anon teaches us, how to shut up. Ooh, thank God for Al-Anon. And so, you know, at the age of 17, I left New York with this very man. And I went to Baltimore, Maryland at 10 o'clock in the morning, and I was being married, and I cried through the whole wedding ceremony. And the minister stopped it, and he said, my dear young lady, would you mind telling me just what you're crying about? I said, at last I got him. Well, I have to be honest with all of you. That was the sorriest day for Mr. Bailey. Mr. Bailey never stopped crying from January 3rd, 1939, till he went home with the Lord August the 12th, 1986. We were married 47 years when he went home. And you know, I'll tell you the truth. I came back with the marriage license just to fly in. No more mama, no more neighbors, nobody's going to tell me how to live. Woo, I'm going to tear up New York. Woo, I'm ready. 17 and ready to go, baby. Got back here and I had to have a drink to wash, to iron, to cook, to talk. Taking the bottle out on the front stoop. Now, you didn't do that in my neighborhood, but I had that bottle sitting out on the front stoop up to my head. And I'm watching me go down. I don't know what to do. People are pulling me up on the carpet. Why do you drink like that? Why do you act like that? Oh, I could rattle off excuses a mile a minute. And my main excuse was loneliness. And I never realized that alcoholism is a lonely disease, a very lonely disease. And so what happened is that, again, I kept on drinking. Now, Mr. Bailey was not an alcoholic. And I said to him one night, maybe if you drank with me, have you all answered that? Maybe I wouldn't want to drink so much in Rome, because I would meet Mr. Bailey coming in from work, and I'm going out, and he's saying to me, where you going, Liz? I said, I'm going to go get a loaf of bread. I'd come back a week later, maybe two, or whenever I could get back. you know. So I thought having children would help me. So I had 3 babies. Didn't help me. Only thing I did decent is that I didn't drink while I was carrying them. But honey, the minute I had them babies, my show was back on the road. See, minute. And Sunday mornings, after I come in a Saturday night, if I got home on a Saturday night, what happened is that I would go to church, trying to cover over the sinful life, phony as hell, hypocrite. And the minute church was over, I was in the bar at 1 o'clock. Couldn't wait to get in there. So I was sick, and I didn't know how sick I was. Didn't know. And I stayed on my knees to Mr. Bailey constantly. Daddy, please forgive me. Please forgive me. I don't want to drink like that. I don't want to act like this. And he would tell me 20 minutes to an hour, my thinking would go off and I would be off. And one day he said to me, Liz, why'd you go back to drinking? Well, 3 weeks ago you said so and so to me. I'd go way back 3 weeks to get drunk today. Is that sick? Now, Mr. Bailey bought me a beautiful home. And 3 blocks away from my home is Liberty Park. Now, I'm sleeping on the bench in Liberty Park. Now, something's wrong with that picture, isn't it? And here I've got a beautiful home, 3 gorgeous children. Can't stay sober. Can't. And I wanted to. I really did. And I suffered with guilt and remorse. Oh, God, I had to drink. The guilt and remorse almost killed me. One day, I woke up with my head coming off my body. I took Alka-Seltzer, Anacin, BC. I put a raw egg in beer. That was a meal for me, raw egg and a beer. And I tried to get my head straight. I reached over on my night table and I took the Bible. And I said, maybe I'll find the answer in the Bible, how to straighten this rotten, filthy life up. Because now I'm being beaten to the pulp out in the street because I got a bad mouth. Oh, I had a bad mouth. You think a sailor had a bad mouth. I had one worse than a sailor. And now I'm fighting everybody and everything, and I'm getting beat so bad that I can't come out the house for weeks at a time sometime. I found myself spinning and hitting walls even. You know, I loved bald-headed men when I drank. Crazy about bald-headed men. Always playing up to them, calling my sugar daddies and stuff like that. And them women didn't like that. And then they'd run me out to the cars and lock me up in the cars to keep the women from killing me. They used to come after me with knives and things. And I just didn't know. I just kept on going, you know, just kept on drinking, just like it was nothing. But I didn't like them whippings. I didn't like them. And so finally, Mr. Bailey looked in the room that morning and saw me with the Bible. And he screamed at me, put that Bible down, you hypocrite. Put it down. 20 minutes to an hour, you'll be so drunk, you'll be slapping one of the kids down, hopping a cab, or swinging a corner. I didn't know he knew me that well, but he did. He knew me. And I had told Mr. Bailey many, many times, when I'm drinking, shut up! I don't want to hear you. And when I'm coming off a drunk, shut up! He didn't win anyway, he went. He couldn't win, because I didn't want to hear him. And this particular day, he kept his mouth going. I literally ran and jumped up in the second floor window. And as I'm standing up in this window, getting ready to throw my body down into the yard, because I want out. Do you know there's a lady named Nana Backer down in the yard, and she spots me standing up in the window. And she starts to scream, Mr. Bailey! Mr. Bailey! You better get her! She's going to jump! And I watched his hand come out the window, next kitchen window, and this is a bedroom window. And he says, Nana, will you let that bitch jump? He said, I'll be rid of all my problems, all my troubles, please. He was begging her, let that bitch jump. And I looked at him, and I wanted to know who the hell did he think he was. I got down out of that window, got back in that bed, and pulled the sheet over me and slept that one off, you know. You're telling me not to jump. Now, girls, Mr. Bailey happened to be a furrier, and I've never had to work. And that gave me a lot of time to drink, too, by not having to work. I have had every material thing any woman on this earth would want. When he died, he had bought me two homes and paid for them. And I had fur coat after fur coat. Every time I had a little piece of dryness, he'd make me another one. And one year, he made me a leopard coat, the most gorgeous leopard coat you ever laid your eyes on. Put three linings in it, threw a party for the job for working on it, brought the coat home and threw it out on the bed, and I looked down at that coat and I hated it. I gave it away. I said he made it so he could spot me anywhere. Got sober and wanted my coat and had to realize that I didn't know how sick I was. You got to get sober to see how sick you were or are. If you stay in the source, it never gives you a chance to see. Never get a chance to see. And so now I'm watching me go down. I'm barring my neighbor's children even to keep them in the house so I don't drink. The minute they take the kids home, I'm drunk. Couldn't wait for them to go home. And I'm watching me go down. I came in one day, fell down the basement steps and busted up all my ribs. Another time, I'll tell you girls, please do not fry a frozen chicken drunk. Please, just don't do that. Because I hit the grease over and burned up both of my legs, and those legs stayed like raw meat until I came into AA. And when you heard my aunt say about my aunt, that's what she is, talk about a healing, these legs healed in AA so beautiful. You would never believe I had ever been burnt. Never believed it. See, these rooms are powerful. You can't play with these rooms. And another thing, what is a lousy hour at a meeting to save your life? What is it? What is it? Look at the hours I wasted in the bar. Waking up where I didn't know where I was and all that stuff. This is beautiful. At least I know where I'm going and what I'm doing. You know, I've never had a car in my whole sobriety. And every night a different white dude picks me up. And I upset my neighbors to know what. From a drunk to this, what is she putting down? Well, I got to tell you, thank God for 52 years I know what I'm putting down. But I must never forget the days that I did not know what I was putting down. I must never forget those days. Because they're still out there waiting for me. You know that. Because not one of you in my 52 years have come back and told me, oh, it's so great out there. Mm-mm. None of you have done that. And I believe you. And I go to meeting after meeting. And at these conferences, I do not miss a speaker. I do not miss a speaker. I was in that beach under the pool this morning at 6:45. Get up and make my meetings to save my life and hope that I touch somebody else's life. That's my primary purpose. That's the only prayer I have been praying for many, many years. Use me for your children. And he has used me beautiful. I've covered every state in this United States but two. And that's Mexico and Alaska. And August the 18th, I'm headed for Alaska, so I got one left. One left. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was trained in here very, very good never to say no to anyone who asked anything of me or you. I am responsible today. And what a good feeling, because I'm the one that wasn't responsible before I got here. I meant good. I wanted to do good. But once I picked up that drink, my good went right out the window and everything else with it. Here again, I'm going down. Mr. Bailey came to me one day and he said, you're the nicest wife when you're sober. He said, when you're drunk, you're a Jekyll and a Hyde. Why don't you try this AA? Ooh, I cursed him out. I laid his soul to rest. I told him to each his own. I'm drinking this stuff and he didn't want for anything. And you know just what you can do with that AA. You know what I told him to, don't you? You know. You know, the man was smart. He walked away from me and never mentioned AA again. Because if he had to beat me with AA, my nature would never let me make it. I'm part German and Dutch. And you don't mess with us. I know you don't. Mm-mm. And he walked away, and I thank God he walked away. Because, as I said, if he had to beat me with... And AA don't beat you with to come in here anyway. No, it doesn't. Because I know for a fact that I was standing up in Brooklyn one night, and I was shaking my little self and telling them, if you see what I got and you want what I got, and the guy winked at me. I said, man, I ain't talking about that stuff. I said, let me rephrase this thing. He didn't understand what I was saying, if you want, see what I got and you want it. But you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I had to rephrase it. And so here again, I kept on drinking. There was a lady coming to sell some insurance for the house. Now, I never called this a home. There was no love there. There was nothing there. And like I told you, I had all the clothes and material things and the money and everything. I had three beautiful children. I put them in parochial school, and I baptized them. I tried to do decent things, but I did some and some I didn't. And I can't ever say that I was a good mother. I cannot say that. But, you know, God has forgiven me 70 times 70. And I had to forgive myself first so that he could forgive me, because I did not know. I was ignorant as far as alcohol and alcoholism. I knew nothing. The people I dealt with didn't talk like that anyway. And all I knew when I came to AA is what we chipping in for and what we drinking. And I was the road runner. I'd be going to get it till I couldn't run no more. See? But here again, I'm watching me go down. And this particular day, Miss Lynn's mom, I hadn't seen her since I was 8 years old. I really wanted to see her. She was coming to sell some insurance for the house. And I got up in July, and I straightened up, made salads and everything, left the dusting to last. And the telephone rang. Now, I'm drinking now with hard two-fist drinkers from the VFW hall. Woo! Had my seat there, honey, just as good. The phone rang, and I heard the guy's voice, and I banged the phone up on him. He called me back the second time, and I banged the phone up on him. And he called me back, and I said, look, man, don't bug me. Don't bug me. I said, I'm looking for this lady. I haven't seen her since I'm 8 years old, and I really want to stay in the house. Now, I know me now. I know me as good as I'm looking at you, that if I go over to that post, that's it. So what did I do? I told him I wouldn't come over there. He said, please, Liz, I want to introduce you to the people. I'll put you back in the cab, and I'll send you back home. I figured, okay, he's going to drive me up a wall today. I got over there, and you were singing songs today. I used to sing songs, too. And the booze is flowing, and the jukebox is going, and I'm singing, you always hurt the one you love, the one you don't want to hurt at all. Give me another drink. Smile if you're happy. Give me another drink. Well, as I said, I'm 83, and I haven't seen Miss Lynn's mom till yet. I don't forgot what the woman looks like, you know? I woke up in one of my son's twin beds. And at the foot of this twin bed stood my mother over here and Mr. Bailey over here. And my mom has got her head just going. And she is screaming to the rooftops that somebody has done something to her. And I look over at Mr. Bailey, he got his head going. And he's saying, no, Mom, no, Mom, nobody's done anything to her. She happens to be a very sick girl. Ooh, my name was Bitch. I never heard of being a girl. I got up out of that bed, and I went to the basement of the house. I stayed in the basement for 2 days praying to die. I wanted out. I wanted out because here I've done it again, and I hate to do it again. My son was 12 years old at the time. He was sitting there reading a book. May 7, he'll be 64 years old. Mm-hmm. Same little 12-year-old son. And I looked at Richard and I said, Richard, I can't live this way. This is not the way I want to live. I'm going to go up on the Long Island Railroad. I'm going to jump in front of a train and I'm going to end it all. And I started to screaming, oh God, I have never screamed to God so in my entire life. It's just like the big book said, he could and would if he sought. I had to learn that in here. But he did do it for me before I got here. So I screamed, oh God, please help me. And something said to me, as clear as I'm talking to you, try this AA that your father has told you about. See, that's what all of you are, seed planters. That's what you are. You're a seed planter. I'm sitting on the plane yesterday morning, and two young people sat next to me, and the booze was just reaping out of them. And they tried to be nice. They really did. And I broke my anonymity. I didn't care about it. I really don't care about it because it's been shot to hell for a long time anyway. What are you going to think about it now? And they were congratulating me and, you know, drunk as they could be. And I had them laughing for a while there on the plane. And the young man, he was helping me off the plane, and he wanted to carry my luggage. And, they fell in love with me like I fell in love with them. And I leave a seed wherever I can. I'm standing on the bus corner one day, and the guy come out with a glass of booze, and he sat it on the ground, and somebody kicked it over. And I said, oh, God, that would kill me. And I said to him, are you all right? He said, yeah. He said, I wish I could stop drinking. What did he say that for? I was on his case. I was on his case, but fast. And I talked to him until he got on the bus, you know. But whenever I get an opportunity, I don't run around telling you I'm an alcoholic. But wherever I think it's necessary, I try to do it indirectly and nicely, you know. I don't call nobody an alcoholic. I'm not allowed to. I'm the only one I can call an alcoholic. My oldest son has hated I'll start with Mr. Bailey, though. Mr. Bailey didn't like me sober. He couldn't handle me sober. He didn't like you loving me. And, you know, but I heard it today in your talk. Wonderful. I had a lot of identification. Tell you, I could hardly sit in that chair. Because I had to beg him to love me. And here I'm out in the street fighting men off me, and where I want to be doesn't want me. And that's a hurting thing. It's really a hurting thing. And here I had these children thinking it would help me. It didn't help me. And I remember so clearly, I had the honor and privilege of speaking for our late co-founder, Bill Wilson. That handsome dude right here, I spoke for his 28th anniversary. Gorgeous man. And he gave me the big book for speaking for him. And in it he says, dearest Liz, you are a magnificent demonstration of all that is Alcoholics Anonymous. Affectionately yours, Bill. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm up in age now, and age is none of my business. But I used to be foxy all over AA. I mean, I was a foxy chick. I come in here with the slits on the side and the low-cut backs, and man, you should have seen me all over AA. A priest sent me a message. Father Kelly, ask that broad what she doing in AA. And, oh, God, I wasn't dressing right. Then I went on a 12-step call, and I tell you, my mouth was bad. And the wife walked me to the door, and she said, Liz, you're a lovely person, but do you have to talk like that? I said, no, I'm not talking right. So I had to learn how to talk in here. A lot of things I've had to learn to correct me, straighten me up, to be a woman with dignity. I stand up and tell you I'm with dignity. Don't mind telling it to you either. And so, again, I worked on that.
So after I came home after speaking for Bill, Mr. Bailey banged pots on the stove and screamed that he couldn't take me in his sobriety another minute. And he was, when I'd get ready to get dressed, he'd go in the basement or the garage. He couldn't stand to see me get dressed. And here again, he asked me to please leave him. Please leave him. And I sat with the third and the 11th step. That's your decision makers in here. With the third and the 11th step at 3 o'clock, quiet. Go and get still if you're ever upset with yourself. Please be still to know that I'm the Lord, that He's the Lord. And He will answer you. I guarantee you that. And so, you know, I left Mr. Bailey. And I took a room and kitchenette, and then an apartment. I went back every day to take care of my girls. I had two girls. My boys had left. They had gone to college and gotten married, one of them. So here again, I really, when I think about my life in AA, it just makes me so grateful and more closer to my God. Because when I came in here, you better not mention God to me. I'd curse you right down if you mentioned God. And as long as I did that, I stayed sick. Migraine headaches, deep, deep depression, isolation, and I cried a lot. I cried for a solid 5 years. And it dawned on me, Liz, you better put one hand in God's and keep the other one in AA and go on a journey. I'm on a journey, not a destination. I'm on a journey, honey. Believe me, I am. And you know, I started to get a little better by letting God come into my life. You cannot do it on your own. And that big book will tell you, if you don't have a higher power, find one now. Not tomorrow, next week, or next month. You got to find it now. And what I love about AA, AA lets you have your own higher power. Not, you don't have to have mine. I don't have to have yours. My own understanding of God. My oldest son, I left Mr. Bailey. I stayed away from Mr. Bailey 27 years. I went back to take care of him in his last days. Yeah, because God told me at 3 o'clock in the morning, if I stayed there, I wouldn't have me. If I stayed there, I wouldn't have him. I didn't have him anyway. And I just told you, if I stay there, I'm not in that house. I'm waking up where I don't know where I'm at. I don't know. Mm-mm. And so here again, I had to leave. I left. Again, my oldest son hates my living guts. And he told me he would never forgive me or forget me for my past. And I found this higher power who has forgiven me 70 times 7. And I shouted for many years, any man, woman, or child want to hold my past over my head has to be their problem. It is definitely not mine. No way, because I've got to go on with life. I had a son. Dennis was an alcoholic and an addict. That's another reason why I stayed with Al-Anon, to know how to deal with him. And I used to say to Dennis, the right road may be hard, but you'll be the winner. And it's nice to be a winner. The easy road, the price is heavy. And Dennis was shot and killed at 2 in the morning between two houses in Brooklyn. And I did not have to pick up a drink. You guys were with me. And my God, my God. And I will suggest to all you women, build a good foundation for yourself in these rooms. Because when these trials and tribulations come along, which you're going to have, I don't care how long you're sober, you'll have something to back you up all the time. That's what's been happening to me. And right behind my son shot and killed my sister, I met her on the corner of 200 Street and Hollis Avenue. Connie, get away from Mama. Mama is an enabler for you to stay drunk. Get away from her. Get a room. Connie had 5 children. Stone alcoholic. And here again, Connie left me on that corner and went into Manhattan at 1730 St. Nicholas and jumped 30 floors. Laid on the canopy for 5 days. See, again, I couldn't have taken it if I didn't have you and the fellowship and my teachings and my living. Couldn't have taken it. My sister next to me drank herself to death. One right after the other. One time I thought my life was a soap opera here. It was one tragedy after the other. But I made my meetings. I stayed close and I had a good sponsor. And I'd whine and cry to this sponsor. You know what this sponsor said to me? Listen, Liz Bailey, AA don't need you, but you need AA. I just cried. I wanted a batter. Because, my God, I never had no woman talk to me like that. And then I'd go back and whine some more to her. And she'd tell me, sit on the pot or get up. Let me tell you, 52 years ago, they didn't talk to you nice. You guys are getting away with murder here. Yes, you are. You're getting away with murder. Every old-timer in this room will tell you that that was true. Very true. They belted me. They didn't play with me. You're either going to sit on this pot or get up off it. And then I come in here and learn that halfway measures avail me nothing. Ooh, you see that? I'm either going to stay sober or I'm not going to stay sober. It's either one of the two. See? And there again. I lost my son, my sisters, and then I left Mr. Bailey, like I said. And I went back 17 years ago to take care of Mr. Bailey in his last days. And girls, I want to tell you, I was so happy to make amends to him. So happy. Because I had to get sober to really see the damage that I did to him and my children. And my oldest son, let his children know, because his children, my grandchildren, are very upset that he doesn't speak to their nanny. They've never seen their nanny drunk. The oldest grandchild is 40 years old. The baby is, 10 on the grandchildren. Now I got 5 great-grands, and I'm living with a great-grand. She's 3, but she's 33. You know? Yeah, I never seen kids so smart in my life. They frighten me. Because mine was not that smart, you know. And here again, one day she hit me, she kicked me, and she spit at me, and I took her little legs and I beat them. I said, no, you don't. I'm not starting you off with me like that. I'm going down and tell my mommy on you. I said, yeah, we both going together. Come on. I'm going right with you and tell your mommy. And I went down to her mommy, who looked at me like a stone face. And I said, you know what she just did to me? I said, I have 17 grandchildren. All I have to do is give them a look. I don't even have to say anything to them. And not a one has ever answered me back. None of them. No, I don't take that stuff. Mm-mm. And you know what? That baby changed. I have a beautiful life with that baby. She just loves her. I said, who loves you? She said, Nanny and my mommy. You know, she does. She's gorgeous. And I enjoy her. But then sometimes she wears me out, too. I said, get out of my room. Get out. Get out. Quick. Can't take it. And I play with her. No, I can't. And I usually tell you all, I have all these grandchildren, but I see them by appointment only. Mm-hmm. And even with this baby living in my house there, I'm living with them now. Honey, let me tell you, my granddaughter writes it on the calendar when she wants me to babysit. It's by appointment. Because I'm busy. I'm busy. I ain't got time for that stuff. Mm-mm. Now, you girls hold your seat. Age is none of my business. I just fell in love. I fell in love with a fine dude. He sent me 2 dozen roses, gold bracelets. Beautiful. He don't talk, but he puts everything he want to say on a card. Comes in a card form. I can't stand that man don't call me and don't talk to me. So the other day, I had been suffering so much pain. Oh, that falling in love is pain. Woo! God, I asked God, do you know what you're doing to me? I asked him. But then I said, this had to happen to me for the fact that any woman that comes to me with that pain, I can have love and compassion with them. But let me tell you what Liz did the other day. Liz, the phone rang, and it was him. And he's saying, I was wishing you have a good trip here to Florida. I said, thank you. I said, you know, I'm closing the door on you. I cannot take the pain. I cannot. He lives in Pittsburgh, and I said, I don't know how to handle a long-distance affair. I don't know. I really don't. And I can't handle it. And so after I closed the door on him, I haven't had no more pain. I could come here with joy, free at last, you know? And I'm happy, joyous, and free. I am. Basically, I am. And so that's the end of that story. But you see, I went up and I had 9 operations. And I went up and I had 3 in 6 weeks. And the doctor said to me, you have cancer. And I'm going to give you 6 months to live. I said, oh, no, you don't talk to me like that. I said, I'm in a fellowship that I have trained myself to live one day at a time. All I got to do is take care today, because life is full of yesterdays and no tomorrows. All I got to do is do my best. Somebody over there said, speak well. I said, no, I'm going to get up here and do my best and leave the rest, because I've spoken and 3 of you hear me 3 different ways. How can I be a people pleaser? I can't do that, because people pleasing leads you to resentments. People pleasing leads you to low self-esteem. I can't use any of them things. And especially resentments. 2 minutes you're allowed. Just 2 minutes. And self-pity, God, just 2 minutes. Otherwise, it'll eat you up. Eat you up. Okay? And you don't need it. And so again, I went and had those operations. I'm here now for 36 years. I'm an arrested cancer patient. But you know, the corker out with that same doctor who told me I had 6 months, he'd been dead. He didn't die long ago. Yeah, he'd been dead. And I'm still hopping cars and trains and planes and subways and buses. I'm still going. Don't let nobody tell you about you, but your higher power. Greater is he that is in you. That's what I had to learn here. Than he that is out there in the world. Boy, if you learn it, boy, you're rich. Learn it. Talk to him. He wants you to talk to him, or her, or it, or whatever you have. My daughter happens to be a Muslim, my baby, who just made 48 years old. And you know, she says to me one day, Mother, are you accepting me as a Muslim? I said, you join Hinduism, Buddhism, I really don't care who's ism. As long as it makes you a better person. That's all we want to do, is be better people. That's all I want to be, is a better person. See? So here again, I'm still going to meetings. And my granddaughter, who's 31, I was sober before she was even thought of. She says, where are you going, Nanny? I said, to a meeting. Over 50 years and you're still making the meetings? Bye. I don't even bother to try to explain to her that I'm not cured, that the progression is still going on inside of me. And I loved it when Bill came out with that sign that said, I am responsible. When anyone, anywhere, reaches out their hand, he wants us to be there. And praise God, try it. It works fine. Works fine. I went to a meeting one Sunday, and I did not know I had diabetes. And I went into a coma. And from the coma, I went into a stroke. The stroke hit me not too long ago now, all on this right side. I was doing like this. My leg was going all the right side, jumping. And one day, I was so sick of that jumping like that, I reached over and turned on my radio with jazz. Honey, I start jazzing. Oh, I jazz. You know I jazz that stroke right away from me? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Music is a healer. Music is a healer. Put some music on. Sing a song. and talk to yourself good stuff, not that old evil, negative stuff. No, don't talk bad stuff to yourself. And sometimes you have to say something to yourself over and over again till it gets into your system. Now, I've been listening to you all for 52 years, so you know you're in my system. You know you're in my system. I don't know anything else but you. And I just love you. And when I tell you I love you, I mean it. I love you. And now don't call me up with no negative stuff because I haven't got time for it. I will not let you do that to you. No, I won't. Change your attitude sometime. And it is a sickness of attitude. Change that attitude to being grateful. I run around my house like a grateful nut. You'd think I was gone. You'd think I was gone. I am so grateful that I can get up. I can walk and talk and eat. I eat what I want to eat too, don't I, Ann? I got AA members watching what I eat. I don't tell them, leave me alone. I know who I'm serving. I know who's watching over me. I do. I really know who's watching over me. I'm still hopping them planes, flying, going through turbulence and all. And I sit there because I know who's with me. Are you going to Florida by yourself? No, I'm not by myself. Mm-mm. I'm not by myself. Talk to him, praise him, love him. I told Ann how I prayed. Was it Ann? You, Mary Ann. I told how I pray every day. And this is my opinion, and this is my life that I'm talking about. I've had to grow to all of this. Grow! Go through all the pain to gain. Fight all the fight for the victory that I have today. I didn't get it easy. I don't have it easy. And here again, I get under the blood of Jesus every day. Under his blood all over me. I touch the hem of his garment every day. That he should touch me from the top of my head, go through every cell of my body, down to the soles of my feet. You talk about that high stuff, baby, I got it. I'm on a high. And you see, and then I ask, thank him. Thank him. Thank him. 5 times on all my fingers. That's why I don't have arthritis. I don't have no arthritis. 83 years old? I should be crippled with something. Thank him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Glory to the Father. I do it 5 times on every finger. Every living day before I get out of my bed. And my Father, you can see, I'm a living proof what he can do for you. It's no secret what he can do. What he does for you, he can do for me and you and every one of us if we let him. Get that third step is fantastic. Relieve me of bondage of self, that I may do thy will. And this has nothing to do with religion. I heard a speaker the other day that blew my mind. He said, you can be a Catholic, a Jew, you can be a Methodist, Baptist, but we all end up in the same room. I loved it. Because AA don't care who you are. It doesn't. Mm-mm. We all love each other. And please, you know, I heard it today from, where's Maddie? Maddie said, where's my doll? She's right. When I came into AA, we had China cups. We did not have foam cups. And every group we went to, we washed cups. We left the place clean because we were so grateful that they let us alcoholics in. You know, 52 years ago, alcoholic was a dirty word. And they all thought all of us came from the Bowery and all that stuff. No, we came out of decent homes. And here again, we used to go, 3 cars would stand on a corner. And if you wanted to go to a meeting, you went down into those cars and got a ride. A lady on the beach 2 years ago when I was celebrating on the beach, with over 30 years, said to me, I don't make these meetings anymore. And I dropped to my knees on the beach to her. And I said, please, you don't have to talk to these people. Just go and sit. Let them see you sitting there that this fellowship works. And when I went to get up off my knees, I couldn't get up. I was crying for help. I said, give me some help over here. But the next year she came, she said, Liz, I did what you said. I'm back at meetings. I said, thank you. Take an hour to go to a meeting, please. And never let anybody sit alone. We never let anybody sit alone. We talk to each other. And I've been through the changes of AA. I really have. And it's hurtful. It's painful. But I knew that I'm only one pebble. And all I can do is stay here and let you see that I'm sober. That's the best that I can do. But to run around meddling in people's lives and got to answer for everybody, no, Liz doesn't have that. I don't have the time for it even. I'm going home now to go to Indianapolis. See? And I hit state after state constantly. Sometimes I don't even unpack my bag. I'll take my dirty drawers out. Or, you know, that I'll do. But I don't, and I'll wash them and put them right back in the bag. See? But you can have the most gorgeous life that you ever dreamt that you could have. Please, please, I'll beg you, stay. I don't tell you keep coming back. I don't think some of you know what that means, because some of you are going to come back and get all them applause. I don't applaud you coming back. They didn't applaud me or nobody 52 years ago. Because 50% of us made it, and 25 couldn't, and another 25 didn't. And I got into that 50% bracket because I wanted to make it. And you can make it too. Talk good stuff to yourself, not bad stuff. Don't talk bad. I hope I've touched somebody here tonight. I really do. That's my primary purpose, is to stay sober. I didn't name all my friends that came tonight or to be with me, but you know who you are. Thank you. I met a lady coming out to sing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.